well, well. What do we have here? It's a Suplex Shogun, Jack Stone. You are listening to Wrestle Horror Podcast. Also, be sure to check out the Arnold where New Ohio Wrestling, Suplex Shogun, Jack Stone on Saturday, March 5th. March 5th, I'm going to be suplexing James Avery, the stretcher himself.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Greetings, viewers and listeners. Meat Hook Jim here, the Wrestle Horror Podcast. With me, as always, couldn't do it without him, my co-host, Donnie Hoover. Donnie, the Arnold keeps getting closer and closer, man. I'm really excited.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be here before we know it. I say we're probably 3 weeks away now, 2 weeks away, something like that. I'm losing track of time, but still recovering from this past weekend. We did the Valentine's Haunt over at Carnage, and it was packed and a lot of fun. And, you know, I was in there getting some good scares in. Superman Onyx was in there. We threw him in there with his big self, and he was getting some scares in. So, yeah, it was a good weekend so far. Now it's back to the grind and getting the Arnold ready.
And nice. On this show is Impact star Jackson Stone. Jackson, welcome to Wrestle Horror.
Well, well, well. Thank you so much, gentlemen. I appreciate you guys letting Shogun onto this Wrestle Horror podcast.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for coming on.
Absolutely.
How you guys doing today?
I'm doing great. You know, go Bengals.
Yeah.
you on the go Bengals side? What about you, man?
I'm a Seahawk fan, but I mean, if I have to choose between the Bengals and the Rams, I'm going with the Bengals.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
I understand. You know, Shogun, because of Stafford, I think right now all of Michigan is leaning towards Rams Nation right now. But yeah. For me, honestly, Shogun always supports the Lions. Lions aren't in, Steelers aren't in. It's not really much. Now, and like you said, Seahawks is like my, if I was to have a list of top five, they'd be my top five. They're not in it. So to me, Shogun's like, you know, let the best team win. Let's just see that.
Right.
But if Stafford does win, good on him, for real.
Oh, yeah.
I actually live just north of Cincinnati, so who day?
You got your chili, I hope.
Oh, yes.
Trust me, Shogun has all the Detroit chili right here. I think everybody's getting ready for the game right now with it.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
But you got to have some of that Cincinnati chili.
I don't know, man. It originated in Detroit, so we don't want to be too blasphemous on this podcast right now. You don't want to be too blasphemous right now. The people downtown Detroit over in Coney Island, they might come get me if I talk too dirty on this one.
So let's talk a little bit about Jackson Stone. I mean, you've got an impressive resume, and you're just a beast, man. I mean, how else can I say it? I mean, what prompted you to get started in this wonderful industry we call pro wrestling?
I mean, honestly, it was gonna happen regardless, because I was in college for football. And honestly, for that, it's just like the love for that kind of waned off around sophomore year. And it was just kind of for me just wonder what I'm going to do next, because it was either going to be rugby, jiu-jitsu, or pro wrestling, one of those three. And for me, wrestling just had my attention way more at that time. So, eventually, unfortunately, Brandon Xavier and Jeff Davenport Traxler over at Mega Championship Wrestling, they answered my call. They were, you know, they were really helpful to get me started on this journey. And pretty much once I graduated college, I immediately went right to training.
Nice. Yeah, I know Jeff real well.
Yeah. Shouts out to Traxler. And pretty much it's always something that's just been in my psyche. My father was my sensei back when I was a kid doing judoka. He would take me to all the judoka tournaments around like the U.S. and Canada. I would compete. And then going from that, going into wrestling in high school and then wrestling in college, it's just always something I always love throwing people around. I can't help it.
Right. That's what you do, huh?
Zach, we all have our talents, right?
Mine's eating pizza, but we'll digress on that.
Don't get started.
So with all this training and martial arts training you've got, I'm sure you've got a great skill set of moves that incorporate a lot of your training over the years.
Oh, yes, most definitely. I figured out, and I'm still developing, a system of even still, I just my 360 grappling system, because I started with judo. That was the foreground. Wrestling really honed in a lot of the strength and just joint manipulation that I need to use in it. And then jiu-jitsu kind of just brings it all together in a nice 360 motion of, all right, well, we're in this situation on the ground. How can we make this person tap from here?
Mm-hmm. Cool. I'm pretty sure you scare quite a bit of people because of your skill set. with those martial arts in hand, how many people have you made tap out?
I need a couple hands for that one. But if anything, right now, I mean, I just competed in the Michigan Open tournament last year for the IBJF, but also Fuji. So, but mainly Fuji. But yeah, for Fuji, that was a big tournament, and I ended up placing second, and that was a fun one. That was a very fun one. But you know, can't wait to get back, you know, learn from my mistakes type of thing. And like I said, I just can't wait to get it's something about like competition, fellas, that get me going, especially when it's one-on-one. Something about that is just like, ooh,
mm-hmm. You know, yep.
he can't rely on nobody else but yourself,
right? Get the blood pumping.
yeah.
So if you had to pick between one of the two, what do you think your go-to would be, martial arts or pro wrestling?
Ooh. You know, right now I'm going to say pro wrestling for sure. I'm going to say right now, you know, damn, that's a good question. I'm going to say right now, pro wrestling, just because I'm in that world. I love this world as much as I am in the martial arts world. That's something that's going to be waiting for me later. But right now, pro wrestling has my full attention. It's something that I just love the art. I love like it's a science behind it. It's something unique about it, especially during this time in the business where it seems like the pool of talent has just shot up through the roof since 2010s. And of course, with internet, you know, we can see all these different talents going around the world, the country, see what's going on in your own city. So for me, I just love the fact that pro wrestling is where it's at. And I'm in that space. Also, so I would say pro wrestling for sure.
Cool,
good answer.
I got to be ready for James. I gotta say pro wrestling if I gotta get ready for James.
Oh yeah.
I was gonna say, you know, you're going up against the stretcher, so
right.
We'll see how much he gets stretched or how much you stretch him.
Hey man, it's gonna be a test. It's gonna be a test of will, strength. And also, I already know I'm going to be learning, picking up some notes myself, because I know that man has a good amount of experience on him. He has some tricks in his back pocket, I'm sure, that he has for guys my size. So I'm waiting and seeing.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It was going to be so much fun, man. I love the Arnold.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I say we're going to be glad to have you there. I say it's going to be a big weekend for us, and we're excited and for everybody that's coming to visit and coming to participate. So, yeah, we're looking forward to it. It's going to be good.
Nice. And that's all weekend, just to make sure. That's a Friday through the Sunday.
Yep, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday we'll be there, yep.
Right, just keep that in mind, folks.
And I probably won't have a voice after that weekend, but.
That means you're doing something right.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Donnie's ring announcer, so
nice.
I'll share it a little bit with somebody else, but I'm not going to give up too much.
Well, what is it we use? And what is it you guys use in haunting? Pineapple juice? Is that what it is?
I'm bringing a whole stock of that.
Are you?
Oh.
Keep the pineapple juice flowing. Here you go.
It's an right, keep some for me on the side, please.
it keeps the vocal cords not so swollen, and it's really good. I learned that from a voice actor.
Mm. You know what? Well, all the wells and screaming I do, I might need to get some pineapple juice going.
I'll hook you up. I'll bring extra.
My man.
So, you know, getting back to pro wrestling, Jackson, who were some of your inspirations in the pro wrestling world when you were growing up?
You know, honestly, if we're I mean, just going from the ads where, because I was definitely, I had the chance to see that, you know, the whole Monday Night War. So The Rock and Stone Cold always been, mainly Stone Cold also, just his, something about his ring walk. I mean, The Rock had the ring walk, but something about Stone Cold's ring walk was just, you knew he wasn't here to play any games. But also I would say the great Muda was a great, was a big inspiration for me. Ernie Ladd, big, big inspiration for sure. Also, Kenta Kobashi, if we're keeping it on the Japanese side of things, he just his strength, the way he was able to display his strength, is just, I can't get enough of that. But I'll say that the throwers, Brock, Kurt, Taz, those guys, you know, Steve Williams, Dr. Death, like those type of guys, like just Albright, Gary Albright, just throwing, just launching people. Like, I love like those type of athletes. Those type of athletes able just to, oh, no. You can run, but you can't hop. Just throw them. I love that type of stuff, man. You know, God bless the Stan Henson's of the business.
Do you got a certain number in your head of how many times you're going to throw Avery around?
You know, I try to keep it at, if I can hit 10, we're having a good day.
There you go.
Business is good if we're at 10. If we're at 20, oh,
all right.
Yeah, we're handing it out like Oprah at this moment. Everybody's in the suplexes now.
You know, that just begs to say, hey, Avery, you're on notice.
Exactly. And, you know, I already know he's like, oh, okay, I got you.
Oh, man. So, you know, you've been, how many years you've been wrestling now?
Right now, for like professionally, I've been in the business since 2015. Yep, my January 5th was my very first bump. April, 2015 was my very first match. So yeah, man, it's just 2015. Been wrestling, man. I mean, grappling ever since I was probably 6 or 5. Honestly, something that's just always been there, you know. Even if it's like my cousins in the back, in their backyards down in Arkansas, just grappling, you know, like they're boxers. So we just learned how to dodge punches and take punches and all that stuff. Just that type of thing. And honestly, yeah, just always grappling has always just been in my life. I can say that for sure. I can't not think of a time where it hasn't been in my life.
Nice.
And you're currently signed to Impact Wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to say that, you know, I've been a fan since the Asylum days. I've seen the good and the bad, but I never gave up on Impact. And I'm really happy to see where Impact has gotten to now, 20 years later.
Most definitely. Mm-hmm. Most definitely. They put a lot of hard work in. And shouts out to everybody on the roster there doing their thing. And, I mean, just like you said, a lot of ups and some downs, but at the end of the day, it's great to see such a strong product, you know, and I'm fortunate to be part of that. Honestly, hopefully I can get on more. Hopefully I can get to it more. Hopefully they can call me in more. I would love to be able to face off with the top people on there, like the Josh Alexanders, you know, the Eddie Edwards, the Mooses, like those guys. Even though he just left, you know, I would love to still face off against Rohit, just a Madman Foden, all these guys, Ace Austin's. That's the competition I really want.
And that's great name drops, because all those guys are doing really well right now. And, you know, you deserve a shot at somebody like that, man.
Yeah, I'm sorry?
You deserve a shot at somebody like that.
Hey, man, I appreciate that. Thank you. And if you guys are listening, please hear that man. Thank you.
I watch it religiously. Trust me, this man needs a shot.
Thank you. I appreciate that, man, so much. The Gut Check competition was a great opportunity. And even now, thinking about when I won, it brings emotion, because it was so much hard work. Like the competition that they're doing on Sunday, that's just one day. When we did it, it was like 3 or 4 months long, because it was like constantly from I would say from October and all the way, and actually, and I would say all the way until March, because we actually finished everything in March. So it was just like, it was longer than 4 months, but just the active motion of just like filming, constantly working and having those matches, shooting those promos, you know, being under that pressure. It was a long trial, you know, a lot of tribulation from that, but honestly, shouts out to the, again, all the competitors of that one. But I'm thankful for like winning that competition. I just want to be able to reap the fruits more of that.
Right. Yeah. And that was going to be one of my questions. You know, you have won the Gut Check Challenge, everyone knows. And at the Arnold, Impact is coming to the Arnold as well this year. And they're doing a Gut Check Challenge on Sunday for experienced wrestlers to, you know, get in there and take a shot at a developmental contract. So, you know, and a few of the guys I know will also be participating in it as well. What kind of advice or helpful, you know, piece of information could you give to, you know, some of the guys and gals that's going to be participating in that Gut Check on Arnold weekend on Sunday?
Honestly, be as just for me, I took it as not just a learning experience, but also I just took it as, all right, well, this is my time just to let loose as much. The cameras are on me. We have all these top management names in that company looking at me. You have Johnny Bravo breathing down your neck. That one over there, you know, I'm pretty sure they have Tony Storm or not Tony. I'm sorry, not Tony. They have
Lance Storm and Johnny Bravo.
Lance Storm. They have Lance Storm coming in. With him being there, definitely bring your A game for sure, because he's going to be looking for those holes in your game. He's going to be looking for those gaps, those things that people are missing. And honestly, just have fun with it. Take it as a learning experience, but be sure just to be your ultimate. Don't be afraid to just show out and have fun with it. Because I feel like that was the biggest thing. I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to have fun with this because we're here now.
All right. Yeah, good advice for sure.
Well, I've heard.
I'm sorry, fellas. Shogun's having a little bit of sound difficulties.
Let me make sure
I got this on speaker. There we go. Can you guys hear me?
Yep, you're good.
Okay, I can hear you now. Show and God fixed. Thank you.
You know, I've heard, and I've watched Lance Storm for years. I've got a few years on you, so I've seen quite a bit.
Yeah, I've been around a little bit.
You dropped some names that harkened back to my youth, like Ernie Ladd. But Lance Storm is no nonsense, man. He's going to bust your ass.
Yeah. Yeah. Most definitely. I think it's a great get for Impact because that means that they're really shows that they're serious about looking at like their next talent pool. So, but, you know, again, if anything, you know, if I'm there, definitely gonna peek my head in and see what's going on.
Oh, yeah. Well, from what I'm understanding, they're just going to be right down the aisle from us. So you should be able to jump back and forth from
one, right. Each hey, guys, one. We're over here. So I love that thing behind you, by the way. I'm sorry. I keep on looking at that it. I just love it.
That's my 6-foot-tall animatronic my wife bought me. Yeah, I'm looking for a Jason one because Jason Voorhees is my guy. If I could find a 6-foot Jason Voorhees, I'm going to have to move it out and put him in.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Shogun needs that teleportation thing that he has, man, that he has going on, man. Whenever he's, you look behind you, not too far. He's all good. Look, yeah, he's right there. Oh.
All right.
I need that power.
Yeah, I'm convinced that when he does get that Jason, he's going to put it in his daughter's room.
Anyways, when she comes home.
He's been there for years.
Right. just standing there, right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just put a well in there just to make it better. Just
right. Yeah, I don't think the wife would like that too much if I did that.
No. So who's Jackson Stone?
Oh, no, just a Pennywise. If I put it in my shirt, he warned me if I put it in my daughter's room, I'm in trouble.
Oh, man. Oh. Hey, wives pop off suplexes too, I see.
Right. So who was your inspirations growing up? You know, like who'd you look up to in wrestling and like your character and your style of wrestling, who do you try to take after mostly, do you think?
And, you know, right. Like for that, for the inspiration of just the energy I project with Shogun, I can honestly say with looking at how Muda just presented himself, I was like, okay, well, if he can do that, and if that's him, if he feels like that's something that's like, and knowing where Muda was in the 80s, you know, knowing where he wasn't the great Muda at that point, knowing that he did a transformation, I'm like, okay, I love that. And then just looking at the transformations of other wrestlers over the years, you know, I've always been, I think Brock Lesnar was one of the more inspirational ones also, because just the fact that he's able just to, every match he's in, it seems like he changes somebody. And I was like, that's the feeling that I want to bring. It's just like some, and everybody's own is unique. But for sure, looking at him, I mean, of course, watching Taker, I think my favorite entrance of Taker was when he was against CM Punk in New York, just seeing the hands reach out, like mm-hmm. just seeing that stuff, like just that was big inspiration. And of course, seeing his whole thing. But, let's just say Muda, Undertaker, Lesnar. Those would be like that's the formula, I would say, the big inspirational formula of Shogun, because just you have, I guess you say that presence of Taker, that sporadic nature and that almost that just unnatural nature of Muda. And then you have just that power and that almost like that just aggression that Lesnar has, and blend that together. I think that's definitely me.
Nice.
I've got to say, speaking of Muda, some of the best matches I ever saw him in were against Sting.
Yes, for sure. Like one of my favorite rivalries for sure, especially from the WCW days, man. Just young Sting. Oh man, he brought out something.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It was like him and Flair, I feel like, were like Sting's best rivalries. But Muda was just one of those things that's like, yeah, he has one of my, because I have a list of matches, of course. I feel like every person that's a fan of wrestling has a list of matches that they watched, either on YouTube, whatever. And definitely his, I think it was excuse me if I'm wrong, fellas, but I believe it was possibly 85, possibly 85, 86. But it was definitely just a 10 minute match between him and Sting. But just within that 10 minute match, it shows so much of what they can do. And just in that time and what they can project, the energy that they can give out to the fans, and they can just let them know, like, this is a competition right here, you know? And mm-hmm. It was such a great robbery. So I can't say much more than that. Agreed. I need to work on my mist. I need to work on my mist. That's one thing I need to work on.
Red or green? Is it red or green?
It'll be probably more like it'll probably be green, but I drink a lot of lemonade, so we never know.
Did 2020 take its toll on your fitness? Well, body slam the pandemic and get back in shape with WrestleFit. This innovative program combines all the fitness regimens you'll need to reach your goals. The WrestleFit workout will bring strength training, cardio, and the world of professional wrestling together in a fun, new, and exciting way. Have yourself a blast working out with dumbbells, kettlebells, slam balls, ropes, tires, and an 18-foot full-size wrestling ring. The WrestleFit workout isn't just for pro wrestlers. The WrestleFit workout is for everybody. At the Now Training Center, you can pursue your fitness goals and learn how to train like a professional wrestler without all the bumps, bruises, and slams with the WrestleFit workout. Go to www.newohiowrestling.com/training for more information, or stop by the Now Training Center at 625 Eastgate Parkway, Blacklick, Ohio, 43004, Unit 6137.
So, but let's talk a little bit about horror. I mean, you know, we talked about that him on the air, and, Donnie, he's got all his horror stuff in the background. I guess the first question that we really try to ask everybody is, what's your favorite genre of horror?
I would say, I mean, slasher is always the classics. Like, slasher is a classic one, but I would say for sure, I mean, psychological warfare is amazing to me. Mm-hmm. And anything we can just get into a person's mind is just, oh my gosh. Fellas, I'm so sorry. Whoever's listening, please look this up. There's this old Japanese film about a king who goes mad. It's a king who essentially goes mad, and it's essentially a horror film, but it's a samurai horror film. But it's such a great horror film, because it shows so much about the inner workings of what the psychological of what a person can really put themselves through. Mm-hmm. And but it's whoever's listening, please try to look it up on Google. I forgot the name. I forgot the name. But yeah, it was definitely back in the black and white filming days. So I would say back in like the 60s, probably maybe in the early in the 50s. But please, if you can't check it out, I mean, I watched it like probably about 2 years ago, watched it again. And I was like, this is mind blowing. Mm-hmm. But anything psychological that makes you question what your reality is or what you're doing. I mean, we could say Freddy's in that era, in that little, I guess, psychological aura. So I would say him. Yeah, I would say Freddy. Freddy is like, him and Jason would be the ultimate tag team to me. They would be the ultimate tag team. So I would say, yeah. So it's, but psychological for sure.
You know, you mentioned Freddy and Jason, and of course, Donnie, he's a Jason fan through and through. Mm-hmm. As you can see, he's got his Jason memorabilia behind him. Mm-hmm. Definitely slasher type. For myself, yeah, I can see both sides of the equation because I do like a good slasher. I love some blood and guts.
Mm-hmm.
The opposite side, there's so much more that can go on psychologically. And especially when less is more, because your brain fills in what you don't see. And so that can make it ultimately more terrifying than anything you could put on screen.
That's so true. And you know what? That was actually, okay. So just to cut away real quick, I'm sorry, not too much, but the fact that your mind can't play a game. There's actually a video game that was actually not even looked at as a video game, essentially looked at as a test of a person's psyche, where you look for something in this house. You don't even know what's going on in this house. You just dropped in this house. You wake up and you go around searching for clues and things and whatnot. And you don't, I mean, not to spoil it too much, but you don't really find anything. It's just the fact of possibly finding something. It's like certain moments where it just freaks people out. It's mm-hmm. just like, so like you, when you said that your mind can make so many different decisions for you already. So interesting, man.
Yeah. And just for an example of like that game, you know, depending on who's playing it, that game will be different for every person playing it because it's whatever their own mind brings into it.
Very true. Very true. But like, let me ask you, fellas, who's your favorite? Like, what is your favorite, I guess? Do you have a favorite horror film? I mean, so many different horror films out there, but do you have a top three?
You know, for me, that's tough, but being that I like psychological and slashers, one of my favorite horror characters is the Creeper from Jeepers Creepers.
Mm. Mm, that's, ooh, okay. Now why?
Because he's different than any other type of slasher out there. And he's got a set of rules where he can only do things for so long in a certain period of time.
Okay.
And he keeps evolving every time he does this because he eats people's body parts to regenerate himself. And, you know, I was fortunate enough to meet the actor who played him at a convention several years ago, and he freaked me out in no makeup. He was in street clothes, but I'm talking to him, and you know how the Creeper kind of sniffed at people?
Mm-hmm.
He did the same thing to me.
Oh, no.
It's like the hair on the, not on the top of my head, but the hair on my neck stood up because he did that. Because it's like, how much of this character is actually in him?
Yeah.
At the time.
Yeah. I see that happen with the guy who played it as well. He said he was seeing it in his dreams.
Right.
Mm. Yeah. I would say mine is obviously Jason's my number one guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the other classic slashers. You know, I like Michael Myers and Leatherface. But one that I do, he might even be like my number two is, and it's not even because he's that scary, because he's not, but it's Ghostface from Scream. I like the Scream series. And just the reason being, it's just because it kind of brought horror back to mainstream and kind of made horror cool. You know, just the Scream, it made it kind of cool and fun. And the fact that they use horror movies to tell this horror story and stuff like that. I thought that was cool how they incorporated it. So basically a bunch of teenagers playing the roles of slashers and, you know, doing their thing. I just thought that was a cool concept. So right, I'd say right. Those are my top ones.
Still a classic opening too. That was still a classic opening in that film.
Oh yeah.
Nice. A curveball. Nobody expected still.
Yeah.
But you know, we've got to throw in Art the Clown.
Oh yeah, for sure.
have you seen the movie yes. Terrifier? We actually had him on the show, I don't know, about a year or so ago. Mm-hmm. The actor who played Art, a very personable guy. But the way that the final kill in that movie still sticks in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. Because that final kill, just it will make you cringe.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Art never says a word in the whole movie. Not a word.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, and Terrifier 2 should be coming out here soon. So I'm looking forward to that.
We're going to have to get David back on for after that, you know. I mean,
yeah.
Yeah, you got to know, like, another series that actually freaks me out, freaks Shogun out. Like, if he had this ability, I'd freak myself out, body snatching.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just anything, like, just body snatching, just like that. I remember I seen that film when I was a kid, just seeing, like, that guy point and scream. I was, whoa. Wait a minute. Like,
Donald Pleasant at the end.
He looked like my teacher at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually a remake of the original, which was done in the 50s.
Wow, man.
Mm.
But, you know, you look at horror films in the 50s for the most part, and your Japanese film notwithstanding, mm-hmm. but in America, a lot of the horror films in the 50s were kind of, if you compare them, back then they were scary as hell.
Yeah.
But when you compare them to modern day horror, they're like, almost laughable because they don't go to the extreme that we go to now.
Mm-hmm.
But back then it was more psychological.
Yeah. Yep.
And now it's more visual.
Mm.
So.
That's true. That is true. Because you do see like a little more body horror and different things like that. Yeah, for sure. Do you guys think that they could do a remake of The Thing? You think a remake of The Thing would be good?
I think it's feasible with the technology nowadays. I think it'd be really good.
Most definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yep, absolutely.
Cronenberg.
Yep. Yeah, perfect example of what you were talking about, Jim. Just happened to me this past weekend because I was at Carnage doing the Valentine's Day haunt. Right. And it was an 80s theme. It was prom night theme. So we had like, you know, the prom setting where all you could get your pictures taken and all the balloons. And we was playing 80s music. And on all the TV screens, they were playing the prom night, Jamie Lee Curtis. And so Mia made a joke like, you know, I had to watch this movie just to make sure of some of the settings on the themes. And she was like, I can't believe how bad this movie really is now. So like I said, I couldn't get to see it because I was inside the haunt working inside the haunt. So I watched it last night and because I remember back in the day, like prom night with Jamie Lee was a, you know, good horror film for me, you know, like the sequence with the kids in the school at the beginning and all that. And I watched it last night and I was like, what in the world? I was like, this is so bad.
Now, I agree with you, but it's not nearly as bad as Girls with Balls.
No.
Oh,
did you get my text? Whoa. Yeah, it's on Netflix now. Girls with Balls. It's on Netflix. It's like basically a girls volleyball team meets The Hills Have Eyes, pretty much.
Okay.
And it's like,
Jackson, don't watch it.
don't.
If you like bad horror, then go ahead. But I was like,
horrible.
Horrible. Girls with Balls. Oh my god. Okay. All right.
We watched the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Hoping it was gonna get better.
That's the worst. That's the worst. When you're like, all right, it's gonna turn around soon. It's gonna turn around. Did you do that with the killing tire too? The tire that killed everybody?
Oh, yeah. Rubber. It was called Rubber, I believe, wasn't it?
It had a, it was about to have a sequel. It was setting up a sequel.
We were sitting there in Donnie's living room. His wife and my wife both looked at us and goes, "What the fuck are you watching?" Yeah, and I don't usually use that language, but that's the only way to explain
that's
it.
The only way you can.
That's what they said.
It was. And, you know, I live about 2 hours away from Donnie. And when we were coming home the next day, my wife looked at me again and goes, "You seriously watch that shit?"
Every second of it.
Every second.
Yeah, I like bad horror.
He hit her with a, "You damn right."
And, you know, then I'll throw out the, "Hey, you married me."
All right.
Right. He's like, "Hey, you took the deal." Contract. All right. It's in the contract. Yeah, read.
Excuse me. But, you know, horror comes in different things. So let's ask you a question related to horror. Do you ever go to haunted attractions? Do you ever go to haunted houses and things like that?
You know, every time I try, I'm booked on a show. Like I wanted to go. It was the one, I think Cerebus.
Cerebus.
Yep, yes. I wanted to go to that one, but every time I was like, all right, well, JCW will call, or like, you know, or Mega Championship Wrestling will call, or there'd be something going on in, like, you know, California. So I'm like, all right, so. Booked over there. So ever since 2015, honestly, it's been kind of rough because I was at the last haunted house I went to was in 2013.
Okay. Wow.
So, I mean, Shogun doesn't mind. I would like to. I'll actually come. Like, the thing is, I would like to go through as Shogun. So I'll just go just see what's up, what's going on.
Yep. I said, I ain't never been to Cerebus, but I think you have, Jim, ain't you?
It's actually Erebus.
Or Erebus. Erebus. That's right. Yeah.
I have not been, but it's on my bucket list. I mean, it's only, what, a 3.5-hour drive for me. I should be able to do it. Mm-hmm. But I know the guys that run it, and they put on a top-notch show.
Mm.
You know, for me, I'm a semi-retired professional haunted house actor.
Oh, wow.
And I also run a team of haunt actors that travel around the tri-state Ohio, Indiana, Kentucky area. So I'm jaded. It's really hard to scare me. Not to say it doesn't happen, but it's really difficult to do so. But when I go, I appreciate what I can see in the talent. It's just like going to a wrestling show.
Yeah.
You can appreciate what they do.
Right.
And that's the way I am with it. And I mean, if I want to go to Erebus, and I beg every haunt, scare me, please.
Please bring it out. I understand.
Make me jump, do something just to make me feel that little rush of fear. That's what right. I want.
Uh-huh.
Now, I have a question about that also.
Sure.
When you go to these haunt houses, like, do you feel that way also because you – I mean, like being a wrestler, we see certain things and holes in certain games, especially like, let's say, people starting out, you know. So when you, being the experienced person that you are in this field, you see a person that, let's say, they're on the green side of things, and you're like, "Oh, I saw you coming a mile away." Is that something that you encounter?
I won't tell them outright, but yeah, I mean, I can pick people out.
Right. That's interesting.
I'll look at a room and my mind is going, okay, there's so many hiding places an actor can be.
Right.
That's not to say that I'm always right.
Mm.
But, as long as I've been doing this, people kind of think the same way, especially if they've got 2 years of experience. But then, you know, there's been times where they've really surprised me and come from an unexpected spot, and I'll jump. And, you know, if they can at least make me jump,
that's that feeling.
I also train haunted house actors. And whenever I do a training class at a haunt, what I do is at the end of that training class is I give them all a challenge. And the challenge is I'm going to come back during your season. If you can scare me, if you can make me jump, I will give you a $50 gift card right there and now.
Ooh, okay. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's like the graduation. That's like the real graduation prize right there. Okay, okay.
And one of my first clients, I presented that to, and the most unassuming actress made me jump.
Wow. Now, could you, I guess, like take it through how they did it?
Well, she was a clown, and I have no fear of clowns, but I was completely distracted because I was looking in one direction and she came from the other direction.
Mm.
And literally I jumped about a good 6 inches in the air.
Mm.
So, you know, I didn't let her ruin her shtick. I finished the haunt. Mm-hmm. And after everything was closed up, I walked up to her and I said, "You did an amazing job. You did what I thought was impossible, and here is your gift card."
That's amazing. Nice. Mm-hmm.
And I do that with every class I teach. I offer a gift card to somebody that can do that to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had a couple people over the weekend, and I still think it's kind of weird, but I know what they're doing. But I had a couple people that I got real good, and they thanked me as they were walking through.
Nice.
Like I scared them and made them jump and they screamed and then they started laughing. They were like, "Thank you." And I was just like, that was weird. It's like, yeah, right. But then I get it. You know, that's what they're paying for. They're paying for you to, you know, scare the shit out of them. So, but yeah, so that it's just something I hadn't gotten used to yet.
That's so interesting. Thank you for the scare. Appreciate it. Huh?
All right.
But there's even a better way to, it's a badge of honor, I guess you could say.
Mm.
And this goes back, let's see, this is 2022. This goes back to about 2012. I was working at an attraction down in Cincinnati called the Dent Schoolhouse. And one of my best friends, who turned out to be my late business partner, he passed away, unfortunately, at the age of 41.
Mm.
But when we were working together at the time, we had this thing we could do in the maze we were working, where if somebody sent a picture of somebody through our app, I would be on the backside, and I would find that person's picture, and I would go out to the queue line and track them down. And what we were allowed to do was drag them into the maze.
Wow. Okay.
So this group of guys, probably 16, 17, had this buddy, had never been to a haunted attraction, and his picture came up. So I went out to go get him. Well, he wasn't having none of that. So I grabbed a couple more of my actors out and we corralled him. He tried to run, but my friend Jason picked him up, threw him over his shoulder. And now Jason's just as big as me. So, you know, it's easy for him to do so. And he dragged him into the middle of the maze and put him down. And the thing at that point was, you know, you got to find your way out of this maze by yourself with no friends.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm up front in the queue line working that crowd. And he comes back out, sticks his head through the curtain. He goes, "Come here, we got to talk." So I go back through the curtain and we end up going through the back curtain to the backstage. And he goes, "Dude, that dude pissed all over me." And literally his whole right side was covered in urine.
That's a backfire. That's a reverse car.
But you know what? He worked the rest of the night in that pee stained costume because he didn't want to miss a scare. And the stench, by the time we got done, whoa.
too many things to say about that. Like, I feel like people were like, "Hey, wait, is this a stink monster? I smell somebody around here. Like, I can smell somebody coming." Yeah, and that's commitment.
You also got to remember, monsters don't smell nice.
Mm. No, that's a good point. So he actually played the man. Props to that guy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Right, shout out to that guy. That's commitment.
I taught him everything he knew.
Yeah. You like a proud moment right there. Like, yeah, you know what? This is good.
That was great. And that kid, I don't know if he'll ever come back to Haunted Attraction, but I know
he'll remember it.
I know his friends busted his balls about peeing all over the monster.
Yes. And you know, I bet he's gonna remember it though. He's like, you know, I peed on a monster one time.
Yeah, that's probably his badge of honor. He's like, yeah, this monster tried to take me one time. I pissed all over him.
Show him what's up. I'm a whiz monster. I showed him. Man, all right.
But we've had, you know, we've had that. We've smelled shit before. Can't prove that anybody pooped their pants. They might have just farted, but.
Right.
But another funny story is there was three teenagers, their girlfriends, and one of the kids' mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And we got them in the maze. And there's one spot in the middle of the maze. It's just a cul-de-sac. There's only one way in. There's only one way out.
Uh-oh.
And when you're surrounded by monsters, guess what? You ain't getting out.
Right.
Oh. At the time, we had no roof on the maze. And the following year, we had camo netting. But that first year, we had nothing. It was open. And it was a fence maze.
Mm.
So we surrounded them. And then one of the guys came around with a chainsaw. All three of the boys were up and out. Up the fence and out. They were gone. Left mom and their three girlfriends.
Oh, no.
So we eventually let the girls out, but we kept mom trapped in there. And here's where it gets funny, because the mom looked around. She looked at me, my buddy with the chainsaw, and my other buddy. And she goes, oh, a threesome.
You're like, what, all right, with the chainsaw? What?
it threw us off our game for about a half second. It's like, all right, how do we respond to this? But, you know, I've got stories, awesome. Stories about working in haunted houses. And
that's awesome, man.
It's so much fun. And, you know, you, with a character like yours, you would fit right in.
Oh, no problem. Hey, you know, I would love to come through dress my shoulder and helmet and everything going on. See what's, hey, what's up? So try to suplex somebody. I'll jump out a door. I'll kick a door down. That's so funny. They jumped over the fence and say, all right, girls, we out.
And you got to remember, this was in the center of the maze. It's a 3,500 square foot maze.
They was walking the top of them cages.
Right, right. They were running.
They were doing the Undertaker rope walk on them things.
I said they were doing the rope walk.
They left the girl there. Man. That was funny.
Crazy.
You know, that's just one of the wonderful stories I have. And, you know, scaring people, it's just like, you know, scaring people is like when you get a great pop when you're doing a show.
Yes, I agree.
It's an adrenaline rush. When you get that adrenaline rush, it doesn't matter if it's a pop or it's a heel heat. As long as you're getting that reaction,
mm-hmm.
It pumps you up.
You know, one reaction I love, Shogun treasures this reaction. Right before the first suplex, I grab somebody. I hear, oh. It's like, oh, okay, something's about to happen. Yeah, so I'm like, first grab, they're like, oh. That's my favorite one. I don't know why. But it's like, you guys are, it's like pulling back a rubber band. And mm-hmm. Right when we hit the suplex, it snaps.
Yep. They know it's coming.
Yep, exactly. It's like Jason teleport. You already know I'm just a couple steps behind you. Well, I appreciate you guys, man, a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you've been, this has been a fun conversation, and this is the way we like it, and you appreciate the horror and everything. So, Donnie's got a question for you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we got a question we throw at people. We do it to every guest we have.
Oh, yeah.
There's no right or wrong answer. We just like to get inside the minds of our guests and see if they're as twisted as we are. And so that question is, you are the main serial killer in your own horror film. What is your go-to kill?
Oh, I'm the thing. I'm going to somebody's body, and we either I'm either gonna just do the Cronenberg and explain, do the whole crazy body thing and with the chest open and clamp the person over, or you know, just pretty much have them play a game with each other and see who and see. Oh no, he's the one. No, he's the one. No, he's the one. Next, you know, they just next, you know, we're at that point where you know we're sitting down in a fire barrel. Everybody's dead. He's drinking the liquor, saying, "Hey, I think that thing's a lot. I think that thing's dead, right?" And you're like, "Am I?" you're like, "He, oh man, I think we beat it. I think we finally beat it." You're like, "Oh, I am the person." That's it. That'll be my favorite type of go to. I feel nice.
That'd be cool.
What about you guys?
Mine is thumbs through the eyes.
Thumbs through. Ooh, so like,
yeah. Yep, just kind of through the eyes. That's one. I have multiple. That's just like one of them. I have a lot of weird ones. Some of them I won't reveal on here. But
he said that's the finisher.
Yeah,
he said that's the finisher. That's you know. Yep.
That's one of the. That's one of them.
That's classic.
If you want to know my favorite? Watch Terrifier.
Yeah. Hacksaw.
Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. Hacksaw.
Yep.
Mm. Yep.
And it's not going to be the way you think. I promise you.
Oh, damn. Oh, damn. Oh, damn. Hey.
This brings dismemberment to a whole new level.
Yep.
Yep. You know, I was just thinking, like, because dismemberment, who's like the, I guess, the best dismemberer, best person, best professional dismemberer? I guess killer in slash. I was like, maybe Jace might be that one or Pinhead, because Pinhead disemboweled some people, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they usually ripped them apart with the chains and all that.
Yeah, I'm like, ah, like mm-hmm. I felt that the next day at school. Like I just watched a clip of this movie. I don't know why I just feel this itch right here.
One of my favorite related to Pinhead was in Hellraiser 3, where they skinned a girl alive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's got no skin and she's screaming after they ripped all the skin off of her. Oof. Like,
man. Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, just,
oh, go ahead.
I was just saying, I was sitting there thinking, I just added to your kill. Like you could get inside someone's body and take over their body and then just start suplexing them until they kill themselves.
They just keep on going. You gotta keep on. He's just going to keep on jumping and falling back, jumping and falling back. Yes. Oh, yes. Thank you. Mind control suplex. I like that.
Right.
I like that. Think smarter. Work smarter, not harder. They say.
All right. You know there what I'm you saying? Go.
So, Jackson, how can people find out more about you? You know, social media, appearances, things like that. What have you got out there for people to find out more?
Everybody, you guys can get contact with Shogun. Check out Shogun's content over there on Instagram, Facebook. The Instagram one is Jackson_Stone313. You can find my athletic page, Jackson Stone, on Facebook. You can also locate me on Twitter, Jackson_Stone31. And also my YouTube, I'm filling up as many matches, content with me doing promos. Also, I love scratching records. So you'll be seeing some suplex jam mixes every now and then. So if you fellas have anything you want to listen to, I'm open. And I love all music. Shogun just wants to spin records. So that's a little something I just give to the fans also. So, and also working on right now, some lemonade powder. This is not what you think, ladies and gentlemen. This is actually lemonade powder. It's just a sample. It's just a sample right now of that lemonade powder. We got natural sugar cane sugar. We got natural sugar cane and also some lemon juice that's locally grown and pretty much just, you know, making it try to push it out to the fans, see what they think of it. We're going to have some that's for fitness lovers, you know, a little more energy of it, some BCAAs, and we're going to have some for the THC people who really want to feel a little medicated with it.
Nice. I love a good lemonade.
Oh, we got you, man. We got you over here. Everything's freshly squeezed and all suplexed.
Nice.
All right. Even better. It's got to be suplexed. It has to be worked in there, right?
Yeah, if you know, if it's not, then it's not organic like that, you know. So, I appreciate you guys, man. So this is a lot of fun.
Oh, thanks, Yep.
Absolutely has been a lot of fun. You know, thank you so much for coming on to Wrestle Horror, and we look forward to having you on again.
And, yeah, I'd love to.
And we can't wait to see you at the Arnold and see what happens between you and James Avery.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be, you know, you guys will see a battle of the monsters. We're going to have one right there. So there it's going to be a fun one, man.
Looking forward to it.
So when I'm back on, we'll talk some more stuff. I want to see, have you guys ever seen Tales of the Hood? I want to talk to you about that. that doll scene kept me up for days. Tell me.
I'm going to have to rewatch it. It's been a minute, but I have seen it.
You so, do. We're going to talk about it.
Absolutely. We'll do that.
Most definitely. Fellas, I appreciate y'all so much, man.
We appreciate you, too. And I'm Meat Hook Jim, along with Donnie Hoover and our special guest, Shogun Jackson Stone. Thank you so much for joining us on the Wrestle Horror Podcast. We will catch you on the next episode.
See you guys.
Thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on all of our social media outlets, facebook.com/WrestleHorror, Instagram @WrestleHorror, Twitter @WrestleHorror, on YouTube at the Wrestle Horror channel. And you can also find us on our website, www.WrestleHorror.com.